to locate a place in space would always be three dimensions, but it doesn't say so much if you don't know what's around that place. And in a way, you often miss the bigger picture if you're just studying something in a very particular place. So when you're in Leuven, one of the things as well, this used to be a Dutch-speaking city with a massive French-speaking university. I think that is part of the space of Leuven.
The noise, the raw noise, the raw data are so complex that the noise become really a music made of microtonality, high pitch burst of energy, or chords, some musical notes, and also tonality.
Measure it. Look at the sky.
History of the place lives on in a certain way. And of course, if you walk through the streets, you also see buildings from different periods. Of course, it's also a layering of the people who've lived in those places before, even though you may not know the full history of people who lived there before.
The concept of distance is something which you have to have in mind when you are working in astronomy. These stars are very, very far away, and light from them has taken a lot of time to travel to us. So what we see now is not what the star is doing now. We are probably many, many years late to check on them.
Listening gives you a spatial idea. Is the car behind me? Is it in front? So with our hearing, we can derive more information. I give you another example. If there is a motorcycle or a truck in the street, I can tell it is a motorcycle just by listening. I don't have to run and look. Another interesting consideration. How many times can you listen to your favorite song? 100 times, even more, right?
Particles, how they behave mathematically is so beautiful. It's like there are hidden symmetries in the mathematics of all these equations, which generates these particles, which generates the force just from a mathematical symmetry. It's unbelievably beautiful if you look at these equations and if you look at the way how you generate these particles from mathematics.
But that doesn't mean that it is not dynamic. It's very dynamic. And if we were super huge, and if we were even bigger, like as a bigger star, we would see something else. We would see a lot of chaos happening if we were closer to those systems as well. But we are so far away, and we are in our own little corner. We almost see no movement, and hence we think it is very peaceful.
May 31st, 1996, hour 6, minute 47, chorus.
They don't have their own light, they are just reflecting the light from sun, and that's how we see them shining.
The University of Iowa's Polar Plasma Wave Instrument. Wideband receiver, audio data.
No, say no one celestial object sounds the same. A pulsar, this star that is rotating very fast, is indeed a cosmic drummer. You know, some of them are rotating 10 times a second. So you have a 10, you know, drum roll per second. Some other pulsar are rotating thousands of times per second. So every celestial object is different. Hydrogen, it's very static. I call it a really a nasty sound. It's very scratchy, very strong. You listen to my galaxy and there is a symphony. The galaxy has a companion, so this sound is moving, is a sound of collision, is a sound of embracing.
And so what we do is we point our telescope accordingly there, and that's the identifier of your star. So the identifier of the star is not really its name, but its location, you know, its location in the sky. And that's actually the most accurate identifier, because we both could detect stars, the same star, at the same time, but in different parts of Earth. And back in those days, this was the case, right, that people would see the stars from Greece and from India, and the same star, but they would call it differently, of course, because they had no way of communicating to one another.
That we believe that everything stems, all forces in nature stems from one big force. That's the idea. One big force that governs everything in space, everything in time, everything in the universe. Everything comes from this force. And this force manifests itself as very, very high energy, massive amount of energies, very tiny things.
And it was just the whole, how do you say, the emptiness, but still like the chaos in harmony, you know, like the emptiness, but still the dynamicness, like, and the grandeur of the universe, you know, it's so huge and it's open to so many speculations. You just have the freedom to think and to go in any possible directions.
In the universe, I face the past. So if I face the past all the time, the sun is 8 minutes old. My galaxy sent those sound at Jurassic time, 250 million years ago. So as an astronomer, the universe is in the past. So the future doesn't exist. Show me the future in the universe. Prove me that there is a future as a time forward in the universe. It doesn't exist, so I have to conclude the time forward is a lie. It doesn't exist. So I'm left right now with the present, and the present is infinite.
May 10th, 1996. Hour 16, minute 38, AKR.
Whatever you see in the sky, it comes from the past.
The sunlight from the sun is already 8 to 9 minutes old. The sun could explode right now. We could get a cup of coffee and talk for another 6-8 minutes, then the blast will arrive. And the farther you look at the universe, the farther back in time.
What we call, what they call the event horizon, like the sphere around the black hole. If you cross the event horizon, there is no way back. That's what the event horizon is, what we call the point of no return. There is no way back. You can only, if you enter past that boundary, past the border, you can only go in one direction, which is straight to the center of the black hole. No way back. That's what the equations tell us. Again, no experimental evidence, nobody ever stood inside a black hole.
It sounds like something is swallowing, grabbing every, whoosh, is absorbing light into. Right. So these are the sounds that we have as of today. You see the Big Bang, you ask me the black hole. It's the magnetosphere of our planet, Saturn, a star, another star, and our sun. So these three are stars, which is interesting to compare how similar the sound is. Then we get to Jupiter, which is a planet similar to Saturn. These are the pulsar, the cosmic drummer. This is hydrogen, galaxy, and quasar. I'm gonna play for you the X-ray black hole. Gonna play as hydrogen. It's nasty. Careful. Lower. Right? Did I? You're safe. Okay, lower. The sound of a star. Here's the sound of my galaxy, which probably you are familiar. Here's the sound of a pulsar, the cosmic drummer, the Vela pulsar.
It makes you question everything, like what is even real then, you know? It's just, it's so dependent on our frame of reference, because it depends on what we see and what is happening around you that you base your observations on. But on a global scale, on a universal scale, things are going quite randomly at different levels. So of course it makes you question that. Of course there is another thing which really changes, which has made me change the way I look at things, is also how tiny we are with respect to the universe, for example.
What is the universe at the end? Is something that we imagine, or is something because we perceive it in some way, or is something physical? You can always you can ask this question.
Talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping planted seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence.
Pullman? Ah, Columbia for Michel Tunini and the rest of the crew. Good morning to you all.
Bonjour, FCC. How are you?
We're all very well down here in Houston, Michel, and we hope you're ready for another good day up there in orbit.
Stars. They do help each other a lot.
We are really star-made.
All the elements we have on Earth, they are stardust, basically. They came from stardust. Also, the carbon, nitrogen, oxygen we all are made up of is from stardust.
All the laws, all the things we need to know, we are self-updating like the universe, constantly recycling, constantly creating. And listen, in doing so, the universe is purifying.
Because the symmetry in the flower for sure has another meaning as well. It's like evolutionary, something like this. The same for the humankind. There is an evolutional aspect why we are symmetric in one axis, for example. There should be some evolutionary aspect as well.
Yeah, we have this, at my parents' place, they have this terrace, and it gets extremely warm in India, of course, in Mumbai. So we would sometimes just lie down at night, you know, and I would just look at the sky and I would be amazed with its vastness.
And it's just a matter of time. It takes time to listen. And you have to be open to receive and open to share. So it is a long journey on how to derive information from this galaxy. So it is all of what you mentioned and even more for the future. We embody the quality of our universe. like the universe, to stay alive, we need to transform, renew who we are every month, every year. So we are constantly creating, constantly generating like the universe. And like the universe, we need to look inside to find the answer.
And then related to how you move around the city. Are there places you avoid? Are there places you like? Are there places that are confusing? And what do you do with those confusing places? Do you avoid them? Or do you go there?
Time is a very, very peculiar parameter in our equations. It's still a parameter, so we don't really know what is the physical meaning of it, you know?
And what's been decided in the past, but you still need to make decisions in the present as well. Whatever the place is, no matter what was there before, there was always something before. But even then, you don't fully erase very often the history that's there. Time and place, or time and space, are very much related.